when your spouse, partner comes to you with a concern, receive with meekness. Ask yourself this question, first off. Am I easy to be entreated? Or rather, do your reactions to them pointing out one of your, well, really it's one of their grievances with you. It's not necessarily them pointing out one of your flaws. Are you communicating to them, I'm listening, I'm open to what you're saying? Or are you communicating, I'm not interested in hearing what you think? Are you communicating, my concerns are more important than your concerns? James 3:17 talks about the kinds of fruit that God's looking for, and one of them is easy to be entreated and full of meekness. Let me read. The wisdom that is from above leads to this attitude, leads to this meekness of spirit. There's a gentleness that would characterize someone who is in touch with the Lord. Meekness. That's not necessarily the kind of thing that young boys aspire to. It should be. So when my spouse comes to me with a concern, remember James chapter 4 says, why do you fight? Why do you quarrel? Where do these things come from? It's from your desires that are at war within you. You want something and you don't get it, so you kill and covet. You want something that they didn't give you so bad that you are willing to sin against Almighty God with your words, with your attitudes, with your actions in order to try to get it. That's where quarrels and fights come from within you, not from, oh, she did this and blah, 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 and she's always, and he's doing the same, and he didn't do it, and he always, but that comes from within you. Remember we said in the first one, that's an attitude of entitlement, and the solution is humility and repentance, to take repentance with you, right? So now as I'm ending this whole section on conflict, when your spouse comes to you, do you receive with meekness? Are you easy to be entreated, which is what James says, James 3:17. Approachable, reasonable, willing to listen, willing to be persuaded if there's truth there, willing to yield to truth. Not stubborn, not obstinate, not controlling, not overbearing. Okay? Any comments?
I'm never overbearing.
I'll receive that with meekness.
Boy, that still small voice must have been the Holy Spirit.
That's from the receive with meekness is when they come to you, all right? This is, we're going to need to work on this very diligently. I hate somebody pointing out yet another failure of mine. I'm fully aware of a numerous quantity of failings every day, and I'm sick of it. I am sick of my sin. And I don't want to hear any more of it because I'm already fully aware of much of it that you haven't even identified. And if you want help listing off my sins, you haven't. You're scratching on the surface, and I'm tired of hearing about it already. So that means, Dennis is like, dang, this pastor's a bad person. Yes, he is a bad person.
That doesn't make you too approachable.
Exactly. So I'm going to have to watch my attitudes very carefully when Carrie points out something she's unhappy with, it can automatically go into my grid as failure. She's telling you you failed. And it's not what she's saying. She's saying, I didn't appreciate this. She's not declaring, you're a failure. Can you run that? Should we share this one and give them that orange mic? Because Menno's got a comment, and I want it on the audio. Thanks, Diane.
This morning, listening to Andy Stanley, he said that Paul said submit to one another. In other words, you're constantly seeking to come under your partner. Both of you come under, submit. And then he says, Christ said, like I, you know, my as my example is, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And that's a verb love. That's not a noun love. That's a verb. So it's a choice that we make. Decide. We're going to love. Not because of what your partner does or anything. Christ said, I'm the example, not the world. And it's a verb. So I thought that this morning when I listened to it, I thought it really falls into the same situation here. So that's the way he used it.
Just hold on to that until you see somebody else there. And then, you know, with your hip, I expect you to run. I'm kidding. Don't do it. Hand it to Dennis. Don't hurt yourself. Second piece, when you bring something to them, because I'm assuming they're going to come to you with grievances. It's just going to happen. That deserves an amen, because that's just true. They're going to come to you with grievances, things you hurt their feelings, you made them upset, you made them angry, you didn't, okay? It's going to happen. So when they do, not if, when they do, meekness is appropriate.
I just want to say something about the timing of when you come. You know, it applies to both of us that, you know, it is hard to be transparent and honest with your spouse. So there's timing in that. You know, sometimes we'll wait, or I will wait until it really irritates me, and then when I come to Diane to express my frustration, I've let it really get to me instead of being honest and transparent to begin with. You know, we've been married for 23 years. It should be easy to share my feelings in a non-threatening way. But at times I find that it isn't. And then there's also the timing of from the other perspective of there's certain times when it's not the right time. Right, Beth? Yes. Right. So my encouragement here is you have to learn to break through that, whatever it is that stops us from being honest and transparent and doing it gently, so our spouse can receive it with meekness and be easy to be entreated. And we also have to know when it's not the right time to approach. Right, that doesn't mean to bury it or shove it aside. It means it's just not the right time. So timing is pretty important.
Can you give an example of the wrong time?
The example of the wrong time is when I've come home from 2 days in the Caribbean, and Diane's been at home teaching children, teaching school, cleaning the house, dealing with 3 dogs, and everything else, and I think things ought to be just so. That's not good timing.
I just want to make one comment, kind of exposing ourselves, exposing me, rather. You know, in the past, I thought about I destroy, then I'd have to go back and repair all the time. You know, you destroy, then you got to go back and repair. And in my later years, I've been trying to make a conscious effort of building rather than destroying, you know, and building it and making it to what it should be instead of just constantly fixing it.
You're not in trouble. Sometimes when you're both in Jesus, you know the Holy Spirit is dealing with someone. And if the Holy Spirit's dealing with me on something, Dennis a lot of times will know that, and he'll sit back and wait and watch. And you don't always have to approach. You can, pray about it first. Sometimes I think we're so quick to just jump in, but we don't need to. We can just pray about it, and if the Holy Spirit prompts you to, then you go to them in the right way. But sometimes you just sit back and let God do his thing, and you'll, it's, then you don't have to go back and repair.
You know, there's a fine line between perception and reality. And I haven't figured it out yet, quite where that is. And so I just can't encourage you enough. You know, feelings are real. Emotions are real. They're God-given. And they are to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. However, it is, for me anyway, threatening at times, you know, to be really honest about my feelings. And if we can't learn to do that in a non-threatening, accusatory, yeah. If we can't learn to do that, we're going to have a rough road. And so, and to the spouse that's being approached with these feelings, I just, you know, I encourage you too to listen and process before you react, because a lot of these things will cause you to react, because that's human nature, and we're broken. But I guess for me, it's been really eye-opening to see just how hard it is for me to tell Diane the truth about how I really feel. I would rather protect myself and not tell the truth, and then it becomes a problem.
Which is a lie from the enemy, because it does become a problem, and then it becomes a source of irritation between us, and it just has a way of growing. And that's exactly what the enemy wants, is for us not to share our emotions. I want to thank you, Menno, for being so vulnerable in what you said. We have been dealing with a family, not at this church, so don't try to sit there and think it through. No, it really isn't. That he has done exactly that. And he has 4 grown children, and I think 6 that aren't in. And he's realized what he has torn down, and you can just see it in his family, and it's devastating.
And you see the remorse in him and the repentance, but his repentance doesn't fix it.
His repentance doesn't fix it immediately. It's a process.
And
rebuilding.
And building, as you said, always works better than tearing down and rebuilding.
And there's a point sometimes where the other party is not ready to rebuild. And that's when it gets heartbreaking too. And so I encourage, you know, a man or a woman can be destructive that way. So I encourage you just to reevaluate your approach.
In reaction.
I don't want to say too much, but I'm learning it's not about me. No, I can make all excuses in the world. It's my background. It's human nature. It's all kinds of stuff that you can make excuses on. But it's not about me. And when I get that, it's about her, you know? It's about Christ, but it's... And it really makes a difference, I tell you. And you get that perspective. Then I got ways to go, but I'm working on it.
I think this is something that I've been thinking about lately. Anyways, I am not very easy to be entreated at all. I feel like if Tim approaches me with something, I turn into this like spitting cat, this hissing. I get very, 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 very defensive, and sorry, I didn't know this made me cry. Everything makes me cry lately anyway, so.
I did.
I was reading I was reading in Romans, Romans 7, 6, 7, and 8, and it, what does that mean?
Dennis and I have been talking about Romans 6, 7, and 8. He's been teaching on.
Anyway, it just struck me in a new way that it's a part of this whole, like, easy to be entreated thing is a part of me that has, I don't like it at all, and it feels so instinctive in me to defend. And but reading Romans, I read that when I am in Christ, I can count my sin as dead. Like, I am dead to sin, and that is a reality that is being fleshed out in my life. And there is hope for even this thing that feels so instinctual and almost like I don't have, I don't know how to change it about me, but the Lord is telling me that this too is something that as I work with him, he can change this core in me, because he's put, I'm a new creation. And anyway, that was very encouraging to me. Yeah, because this is something that I'm not instinctively. So anybody else who can identify with me, I'm just saying, yeah.
That's probably counterintuitive. Knowing our personalities, you probably would have assumed that I'm the type A guy, but I don't know if that's true. So number one, meekness, not arrogance, when they come to us with a concern. And it doesn't mean that they've come to you in a responsible way. They may come to you like screaming, snotting, and using allness language. You always blank-a-chank, wonka-punk. You never blank-a-dank, blank-a-de-dink. And I'm not suggesting that meekness is appropriate when they come to you in a meek fashion. I'm saying Jesus loved his enemies, and that's the call for the believer, to love those who are hurting you, to not hit back when you get slapped across the face emotionally, right? Okay, so meekness, not arrogance, when they come to you. When you go to them, vulnerability, not attack. So number one, meekness, not arrogance, when they come to you. Number two, vulnerability, not attack, when you go to them. If you do what Bob said and you wait until you are at emotional breaking point before you finally say, blah! I don't know, why is that changing colors? Boom, 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 ching, ding, 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 ding. Reminds me of my old TV in the 80s in the basement. All right. Vulnerability versus attack. Rather than wait until I'm super ticked and then just unload, I need to go to them in a spirit that actually communicates what's really going on. Because what's really going on is I'm hurt and scared usually. I show you anger as a defense mechanism, but what's going on underneath that anger is you're scaring me. You are not giving me what I need from this relationship, or at least what I feel like I can't live without. And so in order to get it, I'm willing to fight, because that's easier than taking my armor off and saying, I'm going to need something different from you over here because I'm feeling like this. Super hard to do, Bob. Super hard to do. I'm shy about these sorts of things, I've noticed. My mom did a good job training us. She taught us how to do this as kids. She'd set us down when we'd get into fights with the cousin Philip or what have you. And I'm not saying cousin Philip and I ever got in fights. I'm saying we always got in fights. No. And she'd sit us down. We'd say, he stole my truck and hit me in the head. And she'd be like, I don't care. Tell him. What? And we'd instinctively look back to mom, because she's supposed to be the referee, the judge, and the jury, and the punisher, you know. And she says, I don't care. Don't talk to me. Tell him. You tell him how it made you feel. Tell him what he did and how it made you feel. She was brilliant. My mom was just brilliant. Tell him what he did and how it made you feel. Look him in the eyes. You're going to sit here all day if you need to. Look him in the eyes. Tell him what he did and how it made you feel. You took my truck and that made me mad. That's why I popped you in the head. Right? Philip says, no. Mom says, you'll be here all day if you want.
Well, he hit me in the head.
I don't care. It's awesome, Mom. You know, I don't care. Tell him. Suddenly, Mr. Tough Boy starts to get a lip quiver. You see? When he looks him in the eye, he starts to get a lip quiver. You hit me in the head. I want you boys to apologize to each other and give a hug, and you can't leave until you're ready to hug and mean it. That's how she dealt with it. She was teaching us vulnerability versus attack. She was teaching us conflict resolution rather than escalating the conflict, spinning it out for months, years, weeks.
I hate Philip. I'm never. When he comes over, I'm going to the creek by myself.
So it didn't happen. Philip and I played for a while until we fought again. All right, vulnerability versus attack. Rather than try to get power over them so they do what you want, and listing off all their sins and shortcomings, that's attack mode. Rather than that, which will almost certainly provoke in them a defensiveness and make it way harder for them to even hear what you are saying. Rather than that, listing off all their shortcomings, try to let them see the landscape inside, your emotional landscape, how their power that they're wielding over you is affecting you. Because they have power in this relationship. You both do. You're extremely powerful to influence each other. That's the reality. What you're trying to do when you approach them is let them be aware of how much power they bear emotionally over you. That's a scary thing. You're saying to them, you are extremely powerful, and when you talk to me this way, this is what goes on inside of me. You're presenting them the internal landscape and saying, will you please steward my heart better? It's vulnerable because they might say, nope, sucks to be you. And they might say that.
In so many words.
I hope they don't. I hope they go, I didn't mean for that to happen, babe. I know you didn't mean for that to happen, sweetheart. I know you didn't mean for that to happen, but when you talk to me in those tones, this is what it communicates to me. This is how it lands on me. I need you to steward my heart a little better. Vulnerability, not attack. Okay, so try to use constructions like this. When you, fill in the blank here with historically objective data, did this, I felt this. Try not to say, you always, blank, 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 chomp, ponk, tong, because you're in attack mode when you start to say you always or you never. Please don't use always and never very much in your sentences. Please do not when you're communicating with your spouse about their behavior. Please try not to use allness language. It escalates a conflict. When you did this concrete event on this at this day, at this time, I felt this way. Try those statements. Do statements like that. And maybe even ask yourself, okay, am I attacking right now, or am I letting them simply see how their behavior is affecting me emotionally? Try to get a reading on how would I feel in their shoes. Remember that whole golden rule thing that Jesus taught about? It's pretty cutting edge. Would I like to be spoken to with that tone? If the answer is no, then don't do it. Comments? Vulnerability, not attack. Super hard. Takes courage, especially for a man. I think this is harder for, at least for me, at least. This seems harder. Attack seems like, I had a dream the other day where I beat somebody up. Like we had this room in this hotel, and instead of having organized, like built the building properly, they built it so that everyone who wanted to get upstairs had to actually walk right through our bedroom. And I ended up like beating a dude and woke up thinking, that's right. He won't come into my room anymore. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm just saying, this is innate. You're like, oh, man, this is the worst pastor ever. He, like, dreams about violence. Vulnerability, you know, is not the easy thing to do. It takes more courage to love someone who's dangerous than it does to hate him. You know? Hate is like a safety mechanism. Green, is it green now? Because you guys look greener. What is going on? What was the deal? Switch? The switch at the back? Canon and technology. The Amish podcast. Got our iPods. We got a crank iPod right there. Crank it. Crank that iPod. Get that there. Churn that butter. Final point, because I know we're going to need some comment time on this, and we're just about done. As you move toward resolving one of these little interactions, where hopefully you have received with meekness, not arrogance, and hopefully you have shared with vulnerability, not attack, as you're moving forward to try to form some conclusions, I know you won't suddenly see eye to eye. Let me say that again. You've had the interaction. Let's pretend it was a perfect world, so to speak, where you really did receive with meekness and or share with vulnerability. Let's say that happened. You still don't have any guarantees that you will see eye to eye. Nod your heads if you think that's sensible. Even if you don't harm each other in the conflict itself, you still might not agree. Okay, that's 3 times I said it. So what I want you to do is state your boundaries and respect theirs. Make statements like, this is what I am going to do, and I don't know what you're going to do. If you can do that, instead of getting pulled into something where you are now attacking, what's an example of that? Okay. Would you like to give a personal example from our life, Carrie? I wouldn't either. That's why I'm not giving examples. There's any number of little things, like do you or do you not make sure to tightly seal, you know, the coffee bag once you're done pouring coffee into the... I'm going to have the coffee all done by 2 days from now, so it doesn't matter to me. It's not like it's sitting there for 3 weeks, but Carrie is passionate about getting that thing sealed for freshness. And so both of us have a choice. Are we going to argue and fight over a stupid little coffee bag in the kitchen? What are you, green or purple now? Are we going to argue about a stupid little coffee bag in the kitchen? Or are we going to, love, let's say I called her love like I should. Love, I hear what you're saying. I simply disagree. But if you'd like, here's what I'm going to do. Let's say I'm selfish, but at least I'm gentle. I'm going to continue to do it my way because, quite frankly, there's no right or wrong way to do this. I welcome you to close the bag. That would be a bad example of setting a boundary, but at least we were charitable. Honestly, at the end of the day, the bag of coffee doesn't matter. Get it in your thick skulls. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter. The dishes weren't washed, or you showed up late, or she has this thing that you're... It doesn't matter. What matters is, did you sin against them in how you communicated about the issue? You may never agree. Who cares? Get over it. Grow up and learn how to be gentle, humble, and disagree in a fashion where you don't have the sucker blowing up into yelling and name-calling and recounting all your personal histories. But we will do this if we don't learn how to get a hold of just practicing the Sermon on the Mount in simple, basic ways. We will fight over a coffee bag. Somebody rescue me here.
Well, I'm just going to say, if you seal that bag because she likes it sealed, there's a payoff. You're gonna receive a payoff for that one, I tell you. That, it may you think it don't matter, but it does matter.
That might be. I gave that example on purpose. Okay. What if it's something that I'm passionate about? That one, you're like, dude, get over it. But what if it's something I'm passionate about? It's not a coffee bag.
That has something that actually has weight to it, and we disagree. To me, the issue is not, did you come to agree? The issue is, did you come to treat each other as adults with respect? Or were you continuously trying to control and manipulate the other person to come over to your position, or you are a huge jerk and you don't love me, whether it's the wife or the husband? If you don't do it the way I want you to do it, then I will fight you to the death. That's the game we play. We can't do that. This is not how Jesus has called us to interact. This is not how Christian conflict is supposed to work. Why not rather be wronged, says Paul. Why not rather be wronged? All right.
And I think it's a responsibility for us as husbands to take leadership in that.
Man, I just want to make sure that I get my coffee here.
One. My parents were married 53 years, and Mom just finished her first year without Daddy. And for Mike and I, watching her say goodbye to him and this whole grief process that she's gone through has made us realize what a treasure we have. We have this short time. I mean, she talks about how short of a time they were together, and they were together for more than 50 years, which seems like an eternity to me because obviously it's longer than I've lived. So it just made us really aware of what a treasure it is to have somebody to spend every day with that's dedicated to us, and how much we need to cherish the time we have. We don't ever really know how much more time we have. We may hopefully have today and this week, and you know, hopefully we have a few more decades together, but there's no promise of that. And so every day becomes a treasure. And it's helped us to really treat each other with more respect and let go of some things that are small annoyances, because they really are small. Yes.
Carolyn, that's a good word. And can you remind me of that about every week? Because there's just some things.
Some days are long.
No, I'm serious. I was just sitting up here as Tim quite eloquently, you know, laid down the truth of the matter and going, but there's just some things that I got to have right before I can relax and get on with life. But you see, but if you were in the back of my airplane, you'd appreciate that. There's just some things that... Yeah, but you know... But Carolyn, that is such a good word, because one day we're going to look back and go, man, I expelled a lot of energy on things that didn't amount to anything. We tore down instead of built up.
That was a good word.
We love you.